Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Passing the Mamdani numbers, what does AOC's future have in store? Can Chuck Schumer hold on? All this and a great deal more analysis on Liberty Nation Radio this week.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so this was just reported in this morning. A Coral Springs, Florida man is facing domestic violence charges after he hit his father during an argument that began when the father asked the son to remove the lady of ill repute that he had brought home. A prostitute.
What?
Lady of the night king.
A hooker?
That's right, a hooker, yeah. According to Coral Springs police, officers responded to a family home where the victim told his son that he had spent the day drinking with a woman he described as a prostitute. Was she a prostitute or was she just unpaid? She did it for free. You know what I mean? Like a skank. I mean, the difference is money, in case you're wondering. So when he asked the woman to leave, she complied. But then the son became enraged, shouting threats, telling his dad he was going to beat his double snakes. And then they came to fisticuffs, and 911. He called 911. The son hit him in the lip. He described himself as visibly shaken, and or the police did. And the victim's wife and daughter corroborated, etc. And so now the son was arrested. He posted $2,000 bond. That's sad. He sounds like he's got some problems. The son, like, he didn't get beaten enough when he was a kid. Let's see. This is such a good dog. Dogs are just the best people. I just, you know, if you're like, would you rather spend your day with a very enjoyable person or a dog? I'd be like, a dog. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this was in Okaloosa County. A dog was deemed a hero because he alerted a deputy to his owner, a grandmother who had fallen on a sidewalk. A man called 911 frantic after his wife had not returned home from a dog walk. Body camera footage shows the man telling the deputies that responded that his wife is normally only gone 10 to 15 minutes, but she even gone over an hour. Footage then cuts to the deputy driving before hearing her say, "That's the dog." And they find the dog and they ask the dog, "Where's your mom? Go find us, find where your mom is." And then the dog led them to the woman who was lying on the sidewalk. And the woman asked the deputy, "The dog brought you over?" And he wouldn't leave. He kept coming back to her. He wouldn't leave her alone. He ran up to the patrol car and led them to the woman. And they call him Eeyore. The dog's name is Eeyore. And that dog is the best boy. I hope he gets tons of treats. I shouldn't say that out loud because if the TV's on, our dog, W-I-C-K, will jailbreak the... I'm not like Hassan Piker. I'm not going to keep... I'm not, you know, a piece of scum wrapped in meat who is going to keep my dog on a little square for 4 hours while I rail incessantly Nepo baby style in my compound and then zap it with a shock collar. No. My dog, well, he doesn't do that. He can't stay in here. Kane wants him to be a studio dog.
He needs to be.
You don't know what you're asking. An alligator walks into a bar in Florida. For real. It's Florida. What did you expect? So an alligator legit in Stuart, Florida. It was a local tiki bar in Stuart, Florida, and they got a special friend today. All the people at the bar got a little friend. It was a gator. He walked into Harlow's Hideout like he owned the place, and they called officers and Florida Fish and Wildlife. They arrived on the scene. The gator was taken into custody. He was very compliant without incident, and no injuries were reported. And they say that the gator was relocated to a, quote, more suitable venue where the only cocktails are in the swamp and the sun never sets on happy hour, end quote.
Did he order Gatorade?
But I don't know. That's such a dad joke. If I would have seen a gator walk, and they have photos of him, he's just a little guy. He's not a huge gator. You can pick him up and carry him like a baby if you wanted to. I'm not saying I would, you know, but just saying. But I would... If I see that in a bar, I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to be free pet. Free pet. Now, I'm not dumb enough to be like in Yellowstone and walk up to a moose or do anything dumb like that. But if I see, you know, if you can yeet it, you can get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's yeetable, then it's gettable. And so I would, it'd be my pet. If you're looking to create a stable financial future, consider Noble Gold Investments. Gold and silver are tangible assets, not just numbers on a screen, with thousands of years of trust behind them. Gold IRAs let you hold real assets in tax-deferred or tax-free retirement accounts. Noble Gold is the number one ranked gold IRA company for 4 years running, handling over $2.5 billion in precious metal transactions. And here's what's to like about Noble Gold. Their U.S.-based team is available 6 days a week, providing personalized and consistent service. Pricing is clear with no hidden fees or fine print. Whether you're setting up a gold IRA or making a direct purchase, they make it simple. You even get a photo of your actual metals. Hundreds of thousands of happy customers come back and refer others because of Noble Gold's helpful, informed, and straightforward approach. Open a new IRA or cash account now and receive a free 10-ounce silver flag bar plus a silver American Eagle proof coin. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, RealWorldLeaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
This was super interesting, and especially to see that everything can lead to something else, like how cooking led you to be, you know, the founder, the president of a business, and even like your activities in high school, middle school, like led to this moment.
Adeline, what are you looking to do with the rest of your life? You have a sense of that?
No, not really, but I'm exploring a lot of interests right now, and I enjoy music and languages, so I think maybe something in that area.
Brett, somebody that's interested in languages and music, you think there's any hope for them?
Oh my gosh. I mean, in our world today, everybody speaks different languages, and they work with people that speak different languages, they have different cultures. That's great.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, Work Ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
Do you think the president deserves a Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, I mean, if this sticks, I think the whole point of having a Nobel Peace Prize is for ending wars and promoting peace. And I'm going to make a direct appeal to the president.
I mean, I completely agree with that. Of all the things that people get nominated for when they get the Nobel Peace Prize, I mean, considering this is a pretty significant thing. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can also watch the digital stream of the radio program, Channel 347 DirecTV, also at Rumble X, Facebook, everywhere on the Webernets. Joining me now, my good friend Dave Rubin, host of The Rubin Report. He joins us from his super swanky set via video. Always good to see you, Dave. This is a good thing. I mean, think about it. Like, the birds are singing. We're agreeing with John Fetterman. You know, it's like, I don't know, like rainbows and stars and kittens and sunshine. And it's just, this is something good. What are Democrats going to bitch about?
I kid you not. There is a bird that magically appeared in my kid's nursery about an hour ago that's still flying around their room. The window wasn't even open in the room. We're not even sure how it got there. Yeah, there is a lot of good stuff happening right now. Yes, Donald Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize for this, regardless of whether this is actual peace, like kumbaya, everybody's going to love each other, or it's just that this two-year disaster is coming to a close. The hostages will come out. The Israeli troops will withdraw. The map will likely look a little different. I'm not Pollyannish. I don't think we're going to just magically have peace tomorrow and everyone's going to be crossing borders and loving everybody. But Donald Trump has painted a vision for the world that is different than basically everyone has done in about 75 years in that region. And we already have evidence that it can work when you think about it differently, because we have the Abraham Accords. We already have evidence it can work differently if you think about it differently, because he was able to move the embassy to Jerusalem and all hell didn't break loose. So I think there's every reason for optimism right now. And Dana, as I'm sure you've pointed out already on your show this morning, I mean, the fact that Bernie Sanders, Rashida Tlaib, Chuck Schumer, the laundry list of lefties who have been screaming about genocide for 2 years, which of course this was not a genocide, it was an active war. Mm-hmm. They have not tweeted about it, tells you all you need to know. All they have wanted to do here was destroy Israel. It had nothing to do with saving the Palestinians. The Palestinians could have all been saved on October 8th if they would have just released the hostages. So there's all goodness here. There's a lot of good signs, and I'm very bullish on maybe this can heal some of the wounds that we've been seeing on the right, because the, oh, we're going to destroy Israel crowd is looking pretty silly right now.
I don't know. Maybe that Qatari money will still keep coming in. The CCP / Qatari money. We'll see how that goes. Talking with our friend Dave Rubin. You made a great point on X just a little bit earlier this morning. And I wanted to touch on this, because you were quote tweeting about the strategy that Israel implemented and the partnership. The strategy that came from the partnership of the United States and Israel, talking about Lebanon and then Syria and Yemen. The point that you made was winning the actual war is still more important than winning the Instagram war, because there were questions of, well, is Israel going to be able to be successful if they lose the PR war? But what does it matter? I mean, can you even win a PR war if you're Israel? I mean, sometimes, you know, it seems like a rhetorical question. Clearly, they won the real one.
Right. Well, look, the real war is that they've been fighting a seven front war and their enemies are all basically destroyed. Ask Hezbollah, how's it going? Ask Iran, how's it going? Ask the Houthis, how's it going? Ask Hamas, how's it going? The West Bank, or Judea and Samaria is the proper term for the West Bank. I mean, that's largely been quiet. So their enemies have basically realized, boy, we just can't take these guys out. And the irony, of course, is if they would just get over it, which I do think perhaps because of Trump is happening right now, they're going to find an unbelievable partner in Israel that will help them literally make the desert bloom just like they did in Israel. You want drip irrigation, you want desalinization just like Jordan, which now imports most of its water from Israel. Like, just get on board that the Jews are going to have this little place the size of New Jersey. You guys still have all the oil. Like, get over it, and there is a chance for prosperity. So again, I'm not just like over the top, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever, but it is a massive, massive movement that ends a seemingly intractable problem for now, and then we see what happens on the other side. But nobody will, look, even the Qataris, who you're right, they've dumped a ton of money into our, you know, into our influencer side and Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. You know, they got hit by the rocket from Israel about 3 weeks ago going after the Hamas leaders, which didn't quite work out. But I think they were suddenly shook. They were suddenly like, boy, we're not even that safe. So I do think some of that Qatari money might be drying up. And by the way, even Al Jazeera now has fired a bunch of their most crazed anti-Israel people because Trump is leaning on these guys. This is the true genius of Trump.
And I mean, for all of the, you made a good point, too, with Rashida Tlaib and these others who haven't said anything about this, because I was told reliably, we're told this in 2016 and again in 2024, that Trump is going to get us in the Middle East, going to kick us off into World War III any day now. And so we're all just waiting. Where's the World War III at? Where's this at? We thought we were going to be fighting with Iran. That hasn't happened. And even what's crazier is that this rehabilitation of Syria and their leadership, just because it's advantageous to us and it kind of keeps the peace in the area, because in order to control brutes, you need a brute. And that's been working out incredibly well. He hasn't gotten enough credit for that either. And regardless of whether or not people love him or hate him, I think that needs to be recognized, because this has been sound foreign policy and I want to see more of it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's peace through strength. I mean, it's not rocket science, right? If you show people, look, somebody's going to lead the world one way or another. And if it ain't us, at this point, it basically is China. Yes. So if you believe that Western values are good, if you believe that freedom is good, That doesn't mean we have to bomb all these countries into living like us, but it does mean what Trump said when he went to Saudi Arabia about 6 months ago. He basically was like, look, guys, we're not going to tell you exactly how to live, but there are certain preconditions, not much, but certain conditions you're going to have to accept if you want to enjoy the success of America, if you want to be part of our economy and things of that nature. And I think that that speech really was the beginning of the shift here, where all of these countries are starting to realize, boy, we can go against America. It's just not going to work out that well. I mean, think about it. Yemen, this tiny, ridiculous country, they could have so much success. They could have, right? Like, and instead they chose, okay, every other day we're going to fire four rockets at Israel. It's like you're doing nothing but destroying your own people. So if you get over it, you will see that America is standing there like, hey, we'd love to partner with you and help you. We'll build some hotels for you. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, you're right, too. 6 months ago when he went over and was speaking to Mohammed bin Salman, when he noted that he was going to start removing sanctions against Syria, and Salman stood up and applauded, because we played that clip on air, and I thought, that's really significant. And then all of these other, you had the Emiratis that stood up and began applauding. And then when Syria pulled their air cover over Iran, then you knew it was over after that, because Iran, the skies were then Israel's, and it was done. And then you had the drones that came up. It was pretty spectacular. So, Dave, what do you think China is thinking of when they're looking at this now?
Well, I think they're realizing that America is asserting itself again. You know, it really, in some sense, I think we'll look back like 20 years from now, and it was sort of a miracle that we survived the Biden/AutoPen 4 years. We did not lead in the world. We almost destroyed our own country via, you know, the open borders, which despite everything Trump has done on the positive side on that, we're still going to have to deal with the reckoning of, we don't know how many people are here and all the things that that will entail. But I think China's realizing, boy, America's asserting itself again. And I would say that perhaps as it pertains to Taiwan, they're a little maybe less bullish of going in right now, because they realize, who knows what Trump is going to do. And America does seem to have new alliances forming.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this is huge. We're talking with our friend Dave Rubin. You can find him at Rubin Report and Rubin Report Show on X as well. Entrepreneur, author, all these good things. So one last quick thing about this, because the Nobel Peace Prize, part of me is like, Trump needs to get it. He deserves it for this. Give it to him. And then the more rebellious part of me wants to just stick a finger in the air and say, you know, screw you guys. We don't need you. We don't need your validation. So I don't know, where do you fall at this?
You know, Dana, it's a little bit like when one of us writes a book, and if we get on the New York Times bestseller list, right? Like, we kind of know it's fraudulent. We know it's part of an institution that hates us. And yet you get the call that morning, when I got the call, even though I was like, this is all garbage, and it's literally made up.
It has, oh, I missed it. I sold more than Russell Brand, and he got on it and I didn't. So, you know,
right.
I'm a little, sore. They probably, I'm a little sore about it.
Right, exactly. They definitely don't like you. They're probably not thrilled with Russell, but every now and again, they got to throw a bone to somebody. But it's sort of like that. So does he deserve the Nobel Peace Prize on merit? Of course. Did Barack Obama deserve it when he got it for literally doing nothing? Of course not. Would it be nice if he gets it? Yes. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But it's like, you know what, Trump, just in this case, take the accolades of all of the sane people in the world and run with that. How about that?
I want to ask you about Katie Porter, because you're out in California.
Yeah.
She could. Are you scared that this crazy Karen could be your governor?
Wait, Dana, did you just say I'm in California?
Wait, no.
I am in Florida.
You're in Florida now. Oh, my gosh.
Please, please. That was, of all the things that people have said to me over the years on air that have offended me, that might be.
Dave is going to fly over here and kick my backside. That's what's going to happen. Okay, never mind. So you don't live in California. I don't care about your, I'm kidding. No, but Katie Porter, because I thought you were in California for a while, and then you.
No, okay, I was. I got out.
So you got out in time, thank heaven. So you don't have to worry about this. You're in Florida.
I don't have to worry.
I'm actually jealous.
Yeah, no. However, look, she's an absolutely terrible candidate, but that is what they have left.
You would never talk to anyone in your staff the way she screams at people.
Well,
you would never be like, you're in my shot. You're in my shot, while you have like all of this like debris in the background in your kitchen.
I'm known to smack my guys around, but I would never speak to them with that language.
Yeah,
I
mean, you wouldn't shock your dog like Hassan Piker either. So,
that one I would definitely not do. That one I would definitely not do.
I keep seeing conflicting reports that she is a top tier Democrat and she's one of the top considerations, but also the only reason that she is even in the lead, or even leading, I should say, because it's pretty competitive, is because of name recognition. So there's still time for her to, like, you know, flame out.
I just don't even know what the name recognition is. I mean, I've watched enough videos of her between the thing, you know, telling the employee to shut the F up, who was trying to help her, by the way, or then the interview that she sat in where she just got up because she was asked a follow-up question. I mean, she has the emotional temperament of a six-year-old, so she's sort of a perfect progressive. But look, it's up to the people of California at this point. And unfortunately, you know, about a million people have left in the 4 years around COVID. So good people leave. People dependent on the state stay, and they keep voting the same way. So look, whether it's Gavin Newsom doing what he's done for these last couple of years, or it's just Katie Porter, like, I don't sense that it would be any great change. They had chances over the years to go the other way. They seem to not choose it.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully they don't follow you to Florida, and we don't want any more coming into Texas.
No, we're closed.
Yeah, just put up signs and direct them to other states and pretend that that's Florida. Be like, no, Mississippi's actually Florida. Just stop there.
No, people are getting eaten by alligators here every day. It's very scary. It's humid. The mosquitoes, please don't come, really.
Don't come to Florida. Dave Rubin at Rubin Report. Always a pleasure to see you, my friend. And I can't believe I forgot that you had I know you relocated to Florida. I don't know why that slipped my mind. But when you come to Texas, we'll go shoot some stuff and get brisket. So we'll
now that fun. Now we're talking.
There you go. Right, good to see you, my friend. Appreciate you. The folks over at Florida company Kel-Tec, the KS7 Gen 2 shotgun. You guys are very familiar with Kel-Tec. The KS7 is one of the Gen 2 anyway, is one of their newest ones that they have. And with the KS7 Gen 2, you got all kinds of upgrades. You got a 5-slot rail, accessory rail, Picatinny style, so you can add the grips, the lights, keep it flush and sleek if you want. It's a smoother pump action, so you got faster, cleaner cycling, enhanced durability. Great for home defense, range days, because it's a compact bullpup design, so you got maneuverability and tight spaces, ambidextrous downward shell ejection, 7+1 capacity. And you also can do the Defender package, which changes, really ups it, enhances, as they say in marketing. It's an enhancement. You got the Vortex, Crossfire, Green Dot, extended butt pad, Magpul, RVG, vertical grip, all kinds of stuff. MSRP, by the way, for the KS7 Gen 2 is just $639. So you have all of that accessibility well within reach. It's from Kel-Tec, made in America, family owned in Florida. KELTECweapons.com. It's the KS7 Gen 2. Tell them Dana sent you.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS for 30 days free. Terms apply.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Kentucky, a man was charged with a terroristic display over a Halloween decoration. Stephen Markham, he's 58 years old. He was charged with terroristic threatening. The display featured body bags labeled with the titles of local government officials. It didn't have anybody's name in it. It just had like district judge. What's the other? Like they're just mayor, just the titles. A local prosecutor reported the display to the police after driving past his home in Stanton, Kentucky. One of the Powell County judge executive drove past it. He was unsettled despite the fact that he was not named on any of them. He said he knew him he knew the guy for decades, said he was someone who can be a good person, but disagree. I'm sorry, but I really, they seized his decorations and took it to a police station. He's being held on $5,000 bond right now. Yeah. What? Apparently. Yeah. Now in order to find, and this was in Kentucky that they did this. And what gets me is this is a British newspaper. The reason the British newspaper is writing about this is the examples that they give below. All of the examples, Liverpool and Manchester, and another one that was in Britain. All of the other examples they give are in Britain because, you know, they're arresting people for memes and things like that. And they're trying to defend themselves. The reason they ran this in this British publication is so they can be like, look, in America, the free speech bastion of America. I feel like this guy's got a lawsuit on his hands. I really do. Really do. That's insane. NFL fines Jerry Jones $250,000 for flipping off fans. He says that it was unintentional. Do we believe that it was unintentional? He said he didn't mean to do it. He said it was in the middle of an interaction with New York Jets. Multiple fans recorded him interacting with them, and apparently he held up his middle finger before pointing at someone and waving to somebody else. And some people said he was just simply trash talking. Should he have been fined?
No.
That's stupid. I mean, it's sports. You know, smack talking is, if you can't do it, then, and if it hurts your feelings, please, dear heaven, stay out of sports. Please do not, because it makes it fun. We enjoy this stuff. Good night. We got a whole bunch of other stuff to get into as well.
And the state could lose four. Get out of my shot.
Oh, gosh. I wanted to tell you that that's actually incorrect. It's not that it's electric vehicles. It's that if we don't meet the commitments under the Paris Climate Accord.
Okay. It does. Okay. You also were in my shot before that. Oh, stay out of my shot. I'm going to start again with
holy cow,
saving us money.
So that's Katie Porter. By the way, kudos to that staffer who not only did not take that, but was like, by the way, you're talking about EVs and you're wrong, and corrected her. And Katie Porter's response was, yeah, but you're still like in my shot. My gosh, these people are insane. They're insane. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. It was an aide who said she simply wanted to correct something that she had said about electric vehicles. This was published last evening by Politico, and it was several minutes in the conversation. So this was from July of 2021, which is why that staffer is wearing the face mask. And she was like in view a few minutes. She was going through some stuff in the background. Porter screamed at her, well, yelled at her. And then she said, well, you're wrong, what you were saying there. She's like, I just, FYI. And so kudos to her. But oh my gosh, this is, and by the way, was this while she was talking to Jennifer Granholm? So I'm curious, was Jennifer Granholm like connected with her at that point? Because at that point, Jennifer Granholm's already the energy secretary. Katie Porter is not, you know, I don't know. She was in Congress and I don't know why I just can't believe she thought she could act like that to somebody and scream at somebody like that. That's insane. You're in my shot. The shot is horrible anyway. You have your refrigerator in the background. I mean, for crying out loud, you can't, there's not a blank wall that you could situate yourself in front of or something to where we don't see all the debris by your sink and everything else. The woman in the shot was the least problematic, to say nothing of Katie Porter's attitude. I mean, I got to get real picky about this. I'm looking at everything in the background and she's got all of this like debris, like all stacked up on her butcher block, little island. And then, I mean, I can see your dish soap. I can see the dish soap. I can see all of this stuff and the stuff on the fridge. I just think that that's more problematic than anything else. The staffer in the shot is the least. Kane, Juan, you guys wouldn't accept a shot like that.
No.
That looks hokey.
Yeah.
To have all of that stuff in the background. She's not in a corner. She didn't got a wall behind her.
Yeah, it's standard to keep the background as less busy as possible so that your focus is on the content of what's being said in the video. And obviously that wasn't a concern of hers.
So I don't know. I think that's kind of, the staffer's the least of my concerns. I'm really nosy. Can you just bear with me for a minute? What is that in the background? What does she have? You can tell a lot about somebody by the stuff they have. That's, I see dish soap. What else do I see? What is this? I know it doesn't matter. And the people who are not watching the radio show on 347 DirecTV or in the chat at Rumble watching it are like, Dana, who cares? What is that? It looks like a box of just like junk that she's got a sign on. And then she looks like a hoarder. And then it's like all in the, like, what in the world? You don't have to have like a Better Homes and Gardens setup.
Right.
I don't know. I just think that that's just, and for her to have that attitude and then to yell at that staffer, Katie Porter is indicative of this, I don't know how to describe it, current level of the, what's currently happening with the Democrat Party. where you've got, I keep telling you, the ones who are like 50 and younger that are coming up have major issues. They all have major issues. I do not recognize them as part of my generation. They all have issues, all of them. Think of it. You've got Mamdani, you've got some of the progressives in Texas, you got the Crockett's, you got all of these. There's just, I don't know, they are, it's like they pulled people off of the street and just staffed their party with them. They are representative of like the worst inclinations of the Democrat Party. So anyway, you have Katie Porter. She's struggling, by the way. She really is not having, I mean, she's, you know, maybe perhaps the leading Democrat, but she's got major anger issues. She's running for governor, as you know. She's trying to replace Gavin Newsom. Have you noticed Gavin Newsom hasn't really touched her? Maybe it's just because it's a primary so far, but he's not gotten involved in it. So clearly, if she was the anointed one, they would all be behind her already. It's a pretty divided field. So she's going against Xavier Becerra. And now Xavier Becerra was AG of California. He became head of HHS under Biden Harris. And now he's running for California governor. And then you've got the Los Angeles mayor. And then that's just on the Democrat side. And then there's like, I think Steve Hilton is the Republican. He's a British guy. And then a bunch of other people no one knows. So in California, it's the top vote getters that if they are the top vote getters, they advance to the November ballot, regardless of what their party is. So she doesn't have a major lead. Her big thing is that she has name recognition because she was a congresswoman from the burbs around LA. So that's literally the only reason, I think, at this point, why she's maintaining some kind of, or why she looks like she's in the lead in this primary. Now, I mean, these videos are really going to help with that name recognition, but not in the way that she's hopes or her staff would hope, because you have the CBS thing that fell apart, and then you have this, her screaming this, and I mean, and the way she handled, if I could go back to that interview that she did, the CBS interview, that is just, first off, she didn't handle the questioning correctly, because the question that was asked of her is, well, what do you say to the 40% of, because they're talking about, could you get Trump voters? And the reporter had asked, well, what do you say to the 40% of California voters who that you need to win this race? What do you say to that 40% that voted for Trump? Now, she could say, well, you know, it's a one party state, so it doesn't really matter. She can't say something like that. But there was a way that she could have more gracefully handled it. And if that's the toughest question that Katie Porter has ever been asked, which I kind of think it may be, and she just failed that spectacularly. Guys, I mean, I don't know, man. It's so bad. I mean, she could have said, well, it's, you know, technically it's like kind of a one party state, or, well, you know, that's a tautology. So technically it's illogical. But let's listen to this real quick. Listen to the question and how she handled it, because the question is actually kind of illogical. Listen.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win? And you're saying, no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Okay. Thank you.
So Katie Porter, first off, you have to understand Democrats or reporters, even if you're a Democrat sometimes and they don't like you, they're going to ask you a tough question that you might not be able to answer easily. But she should have been prepared for that, especially because this question has been asked of other candidates. Either her staff didn't prepare her or she, well, I mean, regardless, I think even if they did, she wouldn't have been able to handle it. All she would have to do is say, I would love to win every voter, you know, but historically, California is a pretty one party state. So it kind of washes out in the end. I mean, that you could have said something just as innocuous as that. And then she could have monologued a little bit and commanded the interview and taken it to a place where maybe she could have thrown her a bone with some sort of, you know, on a different issue. But she didn't do that because she's not talented. She's not talented. And she's not a quick thinker. She's short tempered and she's intellectually stumpy. She's just not fast. And that's very evident. Every single time I've seen her in a back and forth. That's, you know, it's pretty evident. But that's not a hard question to handle, right? That's not a difficult question to handle at all. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't remember where it was. Joe Biden was doing some sort of press avail during the campaign in the lead up to 2020. And they were talking about, not necessarily verbatim, the blue wall, but they were talking about Michigan and some of these other states and, you know, like, you know, and going into like more redder counties. And they're like, well, what, you know, some of these counties, you know, you might lose because they're red. What do you say to those? Do you need those voters? And Biden's like, I would love to have all those voters. And he's like, you know, and if they don't vote for me, you know, I'm still going to figure out a way to win. I mean, he's, for crying out loud, was barely sentient. And he was able to answer that question better than Katie Porter. I mean, it was basically the same question, just different variables. And it's not even a gotcha question. I know the reporter would love to have the soundbite where Porter, where, or the reporter would love to have Porter saying, well, I don't need Trump voters to win. And that's ultimately what she was going for. Any Democrat that's not prepared to answer that question is a moron. And you can't tell me that the staff didn't prepare her. I mean, technically, I guess it's a possibility that they didn't. But if you're someone who's already been in Congress and you're portraying yourself as a quick thinking, seasoned, you know, political veteran, that's child's play. I mean, that was actually kind of a softball considering the level here. You're talking about the gubernatorial race. And the fact that she couldn't even rise to that occasion, you don't rise to the challenge. You fall back on your skill set. And Katie Porter's skill set is being a bitch. And so she fell back on that. That's the truth of it. I mean, that's just crazy. If I was advising her campaign, I would have quit. There's no way in hell. There is no way. The fact that you couldn't have answered that, and I will never forget, because I remember that Biden, and people were trying to say, look, you know, Trump says he doesn't need Democrats. Biden says he would love to have Republican voters. And they tried to make a big thing out of it. I remember when that happened. And I just, it made me think of that when watching actually the second clip and just thinking that she has an anger issue, to say nothing of the fact that she dumped potatoes on her, hot potatoes on her husband's head, which is really weird. But okay. She, it's just not, she's got a lot of issues.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We use sunscreen para proteger la piel, ¿verdad? So why not be proactive protegiendo tu salud bucal también? Hola, mi gente, soy Amara La Negra y con el sistema de prevención activa Colgate Total, tú puedes ayudar a prevenir problemas bucales como las caries y gingivitis antes de que empiecen. The reformulated toothpaste, innovative toothbrush, and refreshing antibacterial mouthwash were designed to work together to be 15 veces más efectivos reduciendo bacterial buildup, la causa principal de los problemas orales en solo 6 semanas, starting in week 1, compared to non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and a flat-trim toothbrush. Eso es prevention power, baby. Compra el sistema de prevención Activa Colgate Total visitando shop.colgate.com/total. Protect your oral health and be dentist ready.
From the very beginning, they mean everything to you. And that means you do anything for them, especially if they're at risk. So when it comes to type 1 diabetes, screen it like you mean it. Even if just one person in your family has type 1, you're up to 15 times more likely to get it too. So screen it like you mean it. Because one blood test could help you spot type 1 long before you need insulin. Talk to your doctor about how to screen for type 1 diabetes. Because the more you know, the more you can do. So don't wait. Visit screenfortype1.com to learn more. Again, that's screenfortype1.com.